Check. Check, check. Oh, can you hear me? Could be the level. Oh, it could be that, maybe.
I can hear you.
Oh, you can hear me now?
Yes, I can still hear you.
You could hear me the entire time, but oh, I couldn't hear you because I muted the thing. Ah, I still.
Oh, that's quite rude of you.
It's actually so misogynistic of me. I'm so sorry. I do apologize profusely. The music
Thank
is
you.
Playing in the background as well. There we go. How's it going?
Pretty good. Just got back from Wings. My ears were very cold.
Yay.
Because I walked home from like the bus stop for like 20 minutes, but it was all good. Worked off, you know, truffle fries. Really, really good, by the way.
They look seasoned as hell. I just wanted to put that out there. They look delicious.
Oh, sure. Like, the truffle fries are so crispy. Even if you, like, let them sit for a bit, they're so crispy. A little bit oversalted, but they work really well with the mayo.
No, dude.
It just sucks because, like, the dinky little plate is $14. But the wings are pretty good. Guess how much the wings are?
The wings are probably $22.
The wings are $5 a pound.
What? No way.
Yeah.
That's a steal. What the hell?
Really? Anyway, that's my favorite place to take people. It's cheap, you know. Very cheap. It's pretty hype.
It's pretty hype. There's a cup. There's Sultan's. That's like the only cheap like dining place that we can go to. But that's not even a dining place here. That's just like you get like a nice bowl of rice for like $8 and you're good. Like it's not like. You don't get fine dining in Waterloo. It's sad.
You know where you should go? You should go to Yunsheng Rice Noodle. I used to go there all the time. Really good. They give you unlimited noodles. Isn't that hype?
I thought they were a bit expensive. How much was it again? When you went there? Do you remember?
For like 13.
Okay.
For 13,
okay.
You get like a plain bowl.
Not
but
bad.
Like for 16, you can get like the fancier ones.
Also, I love how we keep talking about noodles every time we're on the air.
What?
Every time we're on air, we're talking about noodles.
I know.
Isn't that interesting?
Oh my god, we still haven't got our noodles.
Yeah, because you bailed on me. What the hell, man?
You were the one who woke up late, okay?
Yeah. And I would still make it.
Uh-huh.
That's your excuse.
Uh-huh.
I was actually getting ready to go. I was packing my bag and everything. And you were like,
sorry.
By the way, Nah, it's all good. I'm just joshing with you. It was a bit I would have been a bit tired anyway. The break was a lot of sleeping. So I was kind of hibernating. I was reserving my energy for this moment specifically.
Uh-huh.
I'm a big bear. Did you know?
Good to know.
My mind is like a bear. All right, we're going live in 3, 2, and 1. Hello, everybody! Welcome back to Impa Bambits, Impa Pembles. Welcome back. Oh my goodness, we're back in the studio. Carissa had her episode, if you haven't listened to that before this one. Hoo boy, doggy, it was a terrible one. The book they were reading was absolutely abysmal, but they were very funny. So when it comes out, be sure to watch it, because it might be, in fact, actually recorded in the flesh. They had a bunch of cameras around, so I was kind of ushered out prematurely, but I was able to listen to most of it. So give Bookmark a listen, please. But of course, we're talking about my show now. Follow me on Independent Incidentals. We're talking with Elise once again. Welcome back to the show.
Hello, nice to be back.
Yes, I do have to remind you, no swearing.
Of course.
Yes. You get one.
I get my one time.
You get your
usage.
One.
Great, good to know. I'm gonna endeavor to not use it this entire time.
Yes, you can kind of like in a PG-13 movie, you can use it at the very end. You can like reveal the F bomb at the very end.
Sounds good.
It'll be fantastic. Is there anything you want to tell the people at home who are listening right now about you? Or any developments that have occurred in the past couple of months?
Oh my gosh. I don't know. Things have been really good recently. I just got out of a wings restaurant, got some wings and truffle fries, and ate a bunch for only like $20 plus tip.
Just would have seen the picture
Walked
chat.
home, got my exercise in. It's like snowing pretty heavily now. Tomorrow, seeing a movie, might hit a museum, just keeping myself busy.
Keeping yourself
I'm
busy.
hoping everyone is
Why
also
can't
doing that.
I'm just gonna go to Ottawa someday. Just to be like caught up in the action. I've been too stagnant recently.
Seriously, there's so much to do here. Everyone calls Ottawa the most boring city in Canada. But as long as you know where to
As
go,
long as you know the
you'll have your
spots,
fun.
Elise will be your
Sorry?
tour guide. Trust me.
Precisely. Hit me up. My Instagram is nemeraldtopaz. And I will take you around. I'll show you my favorite spots. It'll be fun.
Absolutely.
It'll be fun.
It'll be a grand old time. We'll have a parade of 100 different people following you, specifically stalking you through the streets. You'll never catch a break. You'll have to
It's
file
all
a
right.
restraining order against each individual person. It'll cost you thousands of dollars in legal fees.
Hey, as long as they take me to a bar first, we'll talk it over. We'll try to be civil. If it gets harder after that, then we can talk legality. I know a couple lawyers now, actually.
Damn. You're moving up in the world. And you know what else is moving up in the world? Indie games recently. God damn.
True.
It's beautiful, man. 2025, such a beautiful time and to be alive. But you know one thing that I hate about the Game Awards?
What?
Blueprints got snubbed.
No.
Mocked! Ridiculed! Harassed. By the one big bully on the playground, Expedition 33, which
33.
I simply I've started to hate slightly, like internally with a burning passion. I've never told
Because
anyone
it
about
robbed your
this.
favorite games.
Yeah, I just every time they said Expedition 33 when I was watching the broadcast, I just my fist clenched further. Imagine me with like a big like soda can, and I was just
Yeah.
like. Nurr! My face was getting red.
Can imagine that very well, actually. That
Steam was
seems
coming out
like
of my ears.
very you.
Big, I have like my big swivel chair, and I have like a very nice mahogany desk, 1,000 paintings on my wall, and I'm just sitting there with like a statue of Blueprints, like number one on a coffee mug near me, and it's just like I slam my table, and the coffee goes flying everywhere. They snubbed
No.
me. How could they? I can't believe they would do such a thing. Because Blueprints is such a good game. We've been
Is a
playing
good
it
game.
throughout the entirety of the December. December was like our month simultaneously for playing Blueprints. We
That
were,
is true. That is
yeah.
very true. Great
So,
game.
how about we just quickly go? There's not too much history to cover specifically, but there is a couple of things that will be prominent when we're talking about the main gameplay loops and consistent like callbacks to other games specifically, right? Also, do keep a tally of how many times I say specifically. I've been doing that more recently, so
Okay, I'm opening a note.
that's that'll be that's my trigger. That's my trigger phase. That's like my bane, my kryptonite. What about Blueprints? So Blueprints was made by a guy, one singular guy named Tonda Ross. He was a big nerd, as most video game developers are. And back in the late 1990s, he got obsessed with a little game called Myst. Have you heard of Myst before?
Go more in detail, please.
So
Explain
Myst
it, please.
is a 1997, like very, very old, Windows like 95 game. That was a similar game to the game that he made called Blueprints. A lot of it had to do. There's no procedural generate. There's no like procedurally generated tiles. You didn't draft rooms or anything like that. But the main concept of the game was solving a mystery built within one specific location, which was, I think, an island, if I'm not mistaken. There was actually two games that came. There was one game that came out in 1993, and there was another one that came out in 1997. Both kind of center around solving a mystery within one central location. He had posters on his wall of this game. Just to give you a little bit of a taste of how into this game he was. And
Not much.
another game he was also into, can you guess? Card game.
Magic.
Magic was like one his bread and butter as well. He played a lot of Magic with his friends back in high school and university, and he was just kind of like growing up and becoming like, you know, like he wanted to design games specifically, but he didn't know how to do it. So that's when a little documentary called Indie Game the Movie comes out back in, I think, I'd like to say 2014, somewhere around there, 2012. This documentary was very, very important to a lot of developers because there's a lot of connections here. We're talking specifically about with Cuphead. The same documentary was the thing that inspired the brothers to make Cuphead back in around 2014-ish. And a bunch of other developers got their start by watching this documentary. It was a really, really big hit. And it talked about all the people who were developing back when Flash came out, back in, you know, back in 2008, when big games like Super Meat Boy, Castle Crashers, big names like, you know, who was the creator of Binding of Isaac? Oh, I wish I remembered his name. Besides the point, that there's the company Behemoth. There's a bunch of, you know, very, very like popular animators on the platform who were getting a very solid start. Smiling Friends came from Newgrounds. Everything kind of loops back around to this one website. And maybe tangentially, maybe not, this is where Blueprints also got its start. From the idea that you can make a game just by the simple tool sets that have been developed recently to the rise of Unity. So, there's one more thing. There's one more influence that we have to talk about before we can talk about the game itself. Do you know what that is?
I'm not sure. Please tell me.
Okay. It's a little game. It's a little concept called the Euro game. There's a lot of debate on what this specifically constitutes as. But a Euro game is basically a game that kind of takes a semblance to a very simplistic amount of, you know, you don't have that many resources. You have a limited amount of actions you can do per turn, but there's a lot of strategy involved, and there's a lot of layers that get built beyond just, like, you know, you have two specific currencies maybe, and you could do like three actions on your turn, but these kind of ramp up and become more complex the more you play the game. That is the basic foundation of a Euro game, and a lot of games are kind of like this nowadays. You have games like Wingspan, games like Clank, original games like Carcassonne and other, you know, very, very innovative games that kind of allowed this small bubble of board games to become more popular than they already were. Obviously, some other influences off the side are like Legend of Zelda, The Witness, a few other type of games that are like focused on adventure and exploration and puzzles and general mystique, which is what Blueprints is all about. Now, Elise, you can tell me the story, the opening to this game. How does it start? What is the basic premise of Blueprints?
Okay, so basically, you play as Simon, right? Who is the heir to the family that is
the Sinclairs.
Yes,
specifically,
he's the heir to the Sinclairs, right? His grandfather, Baron Sinclair, right, recently passed away. In his will, he bequeathed his entire mansion, all the grounds and everything, to Simon, who would then become the new Baron. But only if Simon were to find and open room 46 in a 45-room home. How is that?
That's pretty good. I just want to comment as well that the fact that his great-uncle gave him an entire manor. This isn't a small house. This is like, it has like a lot of gears and cogs that a small 14-year-old boy that could get lost inside of or get chewed up by. There's a workshop in there where you can make like a little like devices that would not be safe by any ethics board at all. But to be fair, this is a alternate universe that kind of takes place in the same kind of time span of the 1980s, but it's a completely different world. All the continents are different. Everything is different. So basically, you are kind of in the perspective of this boy. You are from ground zero. You are just kind of experiencing what the world is like, what your relation to your granduncle is, and how you can get to the secret 46th room kind of expands as you go along, rather than, you know, just get, you get handed to it and you have like a little blue waypoint marker like in some other games. Ubisoft. So, that's pretty much essentially the whole story. If you have any other additional things to add on to that, please do.
Nothing much, except for the lore regarding the geography and, like, all the political, you know, history of it ends up being quite important to the story. And it's just really cool. Like, as someone who's studied a lot of history and a lot of, like, you know, political science, political history specifically, being able to, like, kind of observe this in a game weave through so perfectly was just so awesome. Honestly, what a great experience.
Honestly, like, a lot of people, from what I've gathered from the interviews I've watched, the developer, Tonda, specifically talks about how, like, a lot of people just kind of ignore the story. Where he kind of just doesn't mind it because it's kind of... the gameplay and the story are kind of interrelated in some specific way, but are also kind of their separate things. You can go play the game without having to experience too much of the story. But if you want to have a deeper understanding of the world, you kind of have to listen to the clues and understand what the game is trying to tell you about this world. So I find that a lot of people just kind of ignore it. And I'm like, no, I'm reading every single note. I'm reading every single, like, diary entry. I'm reading every single letter, every single, like, textbook that I can find about this world. And I'm diving in. I'm reading more about this than my operating systems quiz that is tomorrow. And I'm scared about.
This is actually exactly what's happened to me. Like, I got into it right around exam season. Specifically, like, when all my essays were due. Oh my god. Like, I spent more time in the world of, like, what's it called? Arinda Aries? Than, like, actual, like, Canadian history. Sorry, Fen Aries.
Fen Aries, correct.
The original was Arinda Aries, but, you know.
Yes, and they had that cool...
like, political takeover, etc. Man, I just love the lore. I think it's just so cool. Dude, I was in that library more than any other room, I swear to God.
No, it is, like, literally, you can see how many, like, how long you've been spending in each room. First one is library, second one is classroom. Like, literally, library, I've just spend, like, reading, like, about history of Orendia for like, 45 minutes. Just trying to piece together, like, what the sensor bars could mean. And then I was spending most of my time grading, like, math papers with this, like, arcane rune language. And I was wondering what the hell they were doing with reversing the digits and stuff. And I was like, oh. No spoilers, though, of course. But I have, like, I've actually written down, like, actual equations that I've gathered from grading other people's papers in this game.
Jeez. I have the same.
It feels like, from what your demeanor is, it sounds like, it kind of feels like we're kind of, like, losing our minds a little bit. Like, the thing is, though, like I mentioned on my Instagram story, a lot of people are into this kind of thing. This is a kind of lost, like, form of media, I feel like. There's not a lot of games that actually require you to, like, pay attention and take notes and require you to, like, piece things together that you discovered, like, maybe five runs ago in, like, your, in, like, maybe... a week ago, you, like, discovered this one clue about, like, what your relation to the Baron is. Or perhaps, like, you found, like, a pawn in one of the rooms. And then the next time you find, like, another chess piece. And you're, like, starting to piece this stuff together. It's so cool. Here we are. Okay.
Honestly, I think it's so awesome that the concept of a game notebook has been so normalized in, like, the Blueprint space. It's like you'll see people, you know, getting interviewed during, like, you know, game award ceremonies or whatnot. And every single time, if Blueprints is mentioned, they're like, oh my god, you should see my notebook. We should compare notebooks. And I think that's so cool, you know what I mean? That, like, so many people actually played it, like, the way that the developer played. And didn't just, like, take the shortcut by, like, you know, taking screenshots or whatever. Like, Even though mine's in OneNote, I actually like used my iPad to like write down notes, and I redrew the maps and everything. Like it was so cool.
That's really cool. Yeah, I did some rough sketches too. I just love it's like it feels like community. Like in a world where like everything is chalked up to like how many like your KD ratio or like getting to a specific objective or like, you know, a time-oriented thing, you know? This game allows you to kind of take a step back, allows you to take notes and allows you to like discuss the game with other people and see what conclusions they've gotten to. Everyone's game or everyone's like introduction to this game is so different, depending on where they went to first, what they were like interested at looking at first, and it kind of shows that as you go through like anyone's notebook. It's so cool. So I thought it'd be a great idea to kind of revisit those three main pillars I talked about earlier. We have three main gameplay loops in this game because a lot of like it's hard to explain blueprints in a very concise way, right? With Zelda, you're the boy who's going adventuring, or like if you're playing like I don't know, Balloon Star Defense 6, you're placing monkeys down and popping balloons, right? What do you talk? Well, how do you describe this game? You know, like how do you envelop a person into understanding exactly what it entails with like, okay, so it's like roguelike, but also you like draft rooms, but also you're trying to build up to get to like a specific place and you're trying to solve the mystery of the manor. It's very convoluted. So let's divide it up into three sections. First, we got the drafting and Euro game kind of layer, the main base layer. This is the idea of the Magic: The Gathering experience, where you're trying to build your deck or like build a specific configuration, your strategy going into this. Essentially, you have this huge stack of rooms that you can place into the manor whenever you try to open a door, and you have a choice between three different rooms that might cost, for example, gems, or might cost a key if you're trying to get into a locked door. These rooms can vary greatly depending on what type there are. There's a few different types, but just to reiterate a few. Well, actually, why don't you go ahead?
And discuss like the drafting
Yeah,
situation.
specifically room types. Like what kinds of rooms could you discover within the manor?
Okay, off the top of my head, you have the bedrooms, right? You have the green
Classic.
rooms, which are very plant focused rooms. You have corridors or hallways, which are orange. You have red rooms, which are rooms that have a negative side effect but can also be beneficial towards what you're building towards. You have blue rooms, obviously. Those are like the basic, you know, they're the blueprints rooms, right?
Yeah, they're the
Like I think a
originals.
lot of them, yeah, they're the originals. A lot of them belong to the original Baron. So like Baron Sinclair, I think like his office and everything were all blue rooms,
Yeah, and the
right?
study, I think.
And the study and is the workshop?
Workshop, I think, is mechanical. I'm not too sure.
Okay.
Those ones
I'm
are
not sure
gray
about
or
the
white.
pantry and the kitchen. I don't know if those are blue or brown or something. Oh, there are yellow rooms, which are shops. That is what the I'm like looking at my notebook right now. That is what's oof. Not the notebook.
Yeah. What I wonder specifically is that who are you buying this for? Is the kid just polite? That's what I'm wondering. Like, you have to buy food at the kitchen, for example. You have to give money to the random poltergeist who gives you the banana or gives you like the breakfast dinner. And I'm just wondering, like, is this boy just like brought up so properly where he's like, okay, I have to give money in order to buy these things, even though
Well,
he's like trying
is
to
he
get this
implied that
inheritance?
like there are staff that help him out? Or are they not helping him out while he's doing this journey? Am I crazy?
I don't think so. I'm pretty sure the only person, the only other person that you meet face to face is Alzara, who is a animatronic foreseer who can tell like prophecies. That's the only person you interact with in this entire game.
True. There are some notes that are left by the staff, though. Like, if you go to
Yeah.
the laboratory, hit staff announcements, the terminal computer, It says that they're all rooting for us, which is pretty cute.
Except
But
for Miss
you are right.
Babbage.
Like, there's no one that you actually like directly interface with. Which, by the way, dude, when that cutscene of the guy first hit, I was like scared, kind of, because I
Yeah.
really wasn't expecting it. I thought my laptop had crashed. Like, it was,
It's all
everyone
the
lit
lights
is
go
so
down.
hot. Yeah,
You have
it's really
summoned
cool. It's a
me.
really cool experience.
It is I, the great Alzara. It's for what it's worth, like he's the only game designer for this entire thing, and it just shows how much it was his brainchild. This is like everything he's been working up towards for the past like
Oh,
10
for
years.
sure. Oh man, it's such a cool game.
It is.
That's just the room portion. That's just the room portion.
Oh yeah.
I really like the schoolhouse. Sorry, the schoolhouse and the classrooms. I thought that was so cool when I unlocked all of those.
Yeah, I mean I never got past grade 7. Grade 7's the
Really?
Yeah, I
It's
never got to
pretty
the
good
exam
though.
room.
Oh yeah, no, I think I got to like grade 5 maximum. I really tried though.
Yeah.
It was just like it requires a good amount of RNG and a lot of econ too,
Yeah, you need a
right?
lot of gems for a lot of these rooms specifically, because it's very, very hard to get, like, for example, some of them cost like 4 or 3 gems, and the higher you go up in the deeper you go into the manor, the more expensive the rooms get. So you have to be like very strategic and kind of save your keys and stuff for when you truly need them, closer to the top, when you're getting closer to the antechamber, which
But
is the
dude, you know what
45th
like the
room in the
best
main
room
manor.
for that is? The laundry room. Oh my
Oh
god.
no.
I got I think like honestly 100 something gems in one run just from the laundry
That's
room.
so sick,
Because I hit the
dude.
vault first and then I changed them around. It was crazy.
Have you, no spoilers, but have you found the piggy bank?
Yeah, I haven't broken it. Because
Yeah,
the
I've
problem
been saving
was,
it.
I ended up. Do you have the piety of the whatever?
No.
In like the cave with like the chess pieces and stuff?
No, I didn't unlock that yet. I've been still trying to get a root, get a good or configuration where I have all the chess pieces, but
No, but like this is like in the mountain.
yeah. But I wasn't able to like
Oh, okay.
unlock
Oh
that.
my god, no, it's so worth it. You get like an incredible buff. Like seriously.
I gotta
It's
do
like
that.
completely changed the way
Yeah.
I draft.
Cause I've been doing I wrote down all spoilers for people, so plug your ears if you want to play this game fully. I've been writing down, and one of the notes, I just have all the chess pieces written down in a list format of every single room that has a chess piece in it. And there's a board in the like one of the lower levels of the manor, no spoilers, where you have to like configure the chess pieces so it matches the actual layout of the manor that you created. So it's these layered like meta puzzles that kind of build on top of themselves in this first element. It's so cool because you wouldn't think about using this as a puzzle mechanic, but it just works. Tonda, you genius! My God!
Man, it's just really cool, honestly.
It's so juicy. There's so many things in this game I've never seen done like anywhere else. But there's something that has been done everywhere else, and it's being a roguelike. This game, unfortunately,
True.
I mean, fortunately, depending on how, me personally, I love roguelikes. So the fact that every day is pretty much fresh, you have to start from scratch. The manor is a magical manor that reconfigures itself after every night. So every room configuration is going to be different. You don't save any of your items, no money, etc. Between different runs each day, you have to start fresh. But it works.
It does. And then it makes the permanent additions that you end up earning later on even more like well earned,
No,
you know?
exactly. Yeah. That's kind of like the, in a sense. It also kind of goes back to that Euro game feel, because it's like, specifically with legacy games like Clank Legacy, Akazu's was Incorporated, and what was it? Pandemic Legacy. Like all these games that are, meant for single time playthroughs, but then can have like permanent unlocks that allow the game to be customized, and you can kind of progress in your own special way. that adds a lot of character and life to the game, but also allows you to just have extremely good runs in the future. Allows you to, you know, be able to do better things. Like, for example, one of the currencies in this game are steps. Every time you enter through a doorway, you spend one step, and once you've run out of steps, you cannot no longer explore the manor, and you have to end the day. There's a lot of things in the game that allow you to transfer your steps and other resources from one day to the next. There's specific upgrades, like at your camp, that you can add that allow you to gain, like, for example, 20 step extra steps at the start of the day, or allow you to get 2 extra gems at the start of the day, which allows you to unlock better rooms at the very start, rather than having to scrounge around in the dirt and muck, having to drill up every single hole you find in order to find one measly little gem. And at that point, you used up every single damn room. Every damn room slot's taken, Elise. What am I supposed to do? What am I supposed to do?
I know. It really is, like, because every time you draft a room, you have options, right? And then you have to decide, depending on where you are in the map, whether you want to, like exhaust the stock of, like, dead-end rooms, or whether you want to open up your chances earlier so you can start branching out as early as possible, right?
Yeah.
And so by the time, you know, you get to a couple dozen hours in, you do have a strategy, but, like, before that point, you're kind of just, like, scrambling around and seeing what every room does, because there's so many rooms. Like, it's crazy.
Yeah. And one thing that I hate about the discourse about this game, apologies, I just want to, like, a little tangent about the, like, it's one specific criticism that gets under my skin, is the fact that they adamantly believe that this game requires no skill and is completely RNG, and the fact that they, you know, miss something on one day means that the game sucks and they're never going to play it again.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just wondering specifically what you think of that, because I personally believe that that's just a terrible, terrible excuse for you not wanting to discover more about the game and not realizing there's so many different layers. It just kind of proves their ignorance to me. But what do you think?
Can you say it again?
Like, for example, like, there's some, like, unlocks that are required for, like, some parts of the puzzle. Like, for example, you need to find, like, a broken lever to unlock, and
that's,
you have to draw a greenhouse in order to get that.
Draw specific rooms.
Right.
Yeah. I understand it. Like, I think that, I don't know. I feel like the later you get, the more that you're aware that, like, if you don't have it by a certain point, your run is dead, you know? Which makes it easier for people to, like, kind of give up the run. But also, if you're really, 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 like, deep into a run, you know, you're, like, filling out every room, and then you just, like, can't find a space to get, what do you call it? To get either the garden or anything? Like, that, I get, would be frustrating. But also, just get better.
Get better, and also, I just realized that the game is, like, it's exactly that. Like, even if you, like, are, for example, like you said, like, are trying to build out, like, trying to get an unlock of, like, you know, trying to fill out all the rows in your manor. And then, you know, you have one piece that doesn't fit and you ruins it, right? And you're like, oh, dang it, I can't do it no more. You can just start a new day. Like, people get too attached with, like, they're trying to build one specific masterpiece, trying to get it, like, perfect on the first try. And a lot of this game is trial and error. It's, like, realizing that you're wrong about something, or it's realizing that it's not what you originally thought, and rectifying that, being able to, like, improve on the next run, or being able to prepare better for the future. Thinking, like, okay, maybe I should invest more into, like, dice that allow you to re-roll and redraft different rooms. Or just, you know, like you said, get better.
Yeah.
Like, geez,
yeah, I do wish that there was a way to, like, kind of, not brute force it, but, like, there was a way other than the specific routes to get into the antechamber. But also, when you get the right items, it's still a possibility, right?
Yeah, exactly. It's just a whole game that's centered around discovery rather than just, like, success or failure, you know?
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
So, we're going to talk about roguelike elements. That's great. Let's talk about the puzzle-solving elements.
Yes.
Specifically, let's talk about the parlor room. How about that? We'll talk about the parlor room first, and we can expand out to kind of more of the stuff, and then we can talk about their journals.
Let's do it.
So,
the parlor room. I love the simplicity of the parlor room and the billiards room. I think they're just such great, like, one-and-done puzzles. It makes you feel great if you hit it, but not too terrible if you don't. And I like the way that it ramps up in difficulty after a little bit. It's
Yeah,
like
no.
very difficult, but I don't know. It's a lot of fun.
It definitely, after a while, begins to open up. Like you don't, you're never like, once you get the hang of it, then they start adding additional elements that kind of allow you to kind of think laterally rather than just being able to like mindlessly do it, you know? That being said, though, I think the parlor room could use a little bit more sauce. Like I've gotten every single one right since the very first day. It's like maybe it's because I took a logic course, but like I've been studying a lot of Boolean logic. I can break sentences and statements down very easily. Anyway, I'm gonna
I've
go.
gotten a couple wrong. Not too many, luckily.
Yeah.
But it really does, like some of them, especially the later you get, you really do have to like kind of stop and think about it. You know, if you're speeding through, probably like a recipe for, you know,
Disaster.
getting the gems. But I'm confident enough in my ability that like when I chose to upgrade it, I chose to receive extra gems in the trunk instead of two keys,
Dude, you
which
got to
apparently is
upgrade it?
very.
Oh, man.
Oh
Everyone's.
no, I'm so sorry, is that a spoiler?
No, everyone's been getting better upgrades than me. So in the game, you can collect upgrade discs that allow you to upgrade rooms in your stack, in your deck.
Yes.
So I've been getting the worst rooms imaginable every time.
What
I'm
you
like, please get
what's
me
what you
storage
what
room,
have you
please
been
get me storage
getting?
room. And I got hallway, I got
Okay.
boudoir.
Boudoir. The boudoir is pretty good. I got the dice in the boudoir. What you get? I've got the dice.
I got dice. Yeah, they're pretty good. They're pretty good.
That's pretty good.
Yeah. It's not bad, but I'm just saying, like, boudoir is not too bad, especially when you unlock the safe. Wink, wink, nudge, nudge. But also, I got, was it spare room? I think most people get spare room.
Yes.
Yeah, spare room's kind of like one of the one and duns. But like, other than that, I can't recall anything else that I've gotten that I'm like, whoa, it doesn't really change the
What?
game for me.
Dude, the nursery is hype.
I
Oh my god.
wish.
The nursery is awesome. I'm gonna look it up. Nursery upgrade blueprints. Man, it's
Man.
so solid.
Speaking about the nursery and also about the story elements of the game, let's talk about that book. And
Yes.
we could talk about
Which
your
one?
the Red Prince book. The little
Yes.
story time book about the Red Prince and the kind of layered mystery of this author that has apparently gone missing due to some sort of political intrigue.
Man. I read the book and I was so touched. It just felt like it felt so children's book. You know what I mean?
Yeah, that and also
But
what was it, Darebird? Both books written by the
yes,
fictional author.
that one was very cute.
It's adorable. In the library, there's a bunch of books that you can take out a book and you can like the next day when you draw it, you can read the book that you took out from the last day. And you get to
Very
see
fun.
all the people who took out the book before you. And wouldn't you know it, like 10 years ago when you were like Simon was four. He took out this songbird or whatever that book was called. It was just so cute to see his like very scratchy handwriting as a 4-year-old like when he took out the book from his granduncle's library.
Yeah, when I was doing my notes on the books, I always wrote down who had like taken them out, and it was really cool.
Yeah.
I love seeing Anne Babbage taking out the books, like when she, I assume when she first like moved to Reddington or something like that. She read A Sightseer's Guide to Reddington. I think that was very sweet.
It's just so touching because you just kind of piece together the story of like what their life was like, whatever, like any staff member that you kind of read about. I kind of have a little bit of beef with Anne Babbage though. A little bit
Why
too
is
mean to
that?
Hartley, in my opinion.
Oh, isn't Hartley like a bad guy?
Well, I don't think he deserved it personally.
Okay.
He just stole a few
Oh.
things. He's rich. The granduncle's rich. Baron is rich. I don't think he needs all that stuff. Who needs mail? Why would you? Come on. get out of your own ass. Like, he's a rich guy. Like, I don't understand, man. Anyway.
Well, she is like the housekeeper, you know.
I guess you're right.
That's fair. Oh, and I love seeing every mention of Clara Epson. I don't know. I think she's a really, really fun character. You know, she only really like haunts the narrative a little bit.
I haven't like seen her that much.
She was I think she was the Baron's love interest. She passed away.
But
I don't know if I think they were married. It was very sweet. There's like a couple photos of her, and I believe that in the orchard, like their initials are carved on the tree.
Oh, that makes so much sense. See, it's those little details that I never thought to even think about. That's awesome.
Oh man. And if we're talking about books, that dude, reading the history of Arrindia.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. I love the little snarky letter in the middle as well.
Seeing all of the like redactions and then being able to go to the bookstore and buying the first edition, or like seeing it was there for like 40 gold. Oh my god. Was it 40 or was it 80 gold?
Yeah, I think I'm pretty sure it was like 40. Cuz it was too expensive for me for sure, and I was like, okay,
yeah,
I need to get that book.
Sale.
Oh,
dude,
yeah, I should do that.
I
should really do that.
I was so hyped when I got it. Seriously. It was like, I got so much money. Because I think I unlocked, like, the tomb. And I saved up a bunch. I froze all my assets. And I went back. And I bought, like, I want to say, like, 5 or 6 books in one fell swoop.
That's so,
so
sick.
Satisfying. Oh, my God.
I never get to draw the freezer when it counts. Whenever I have like 50
I know.
Gold, it's like, oh wait, I need a freezer. Oh no.
And then it's just gone. It happens like every time.
Yeah.
Because like every time I draw the freezer, I'm like, well, or I don't really need you right now. I can just keep going. And then I die in the next room.
Oh yeah,
and
wait.
I run out of steps.
I don't have any. Jets. Oh no. It is quite sad. It is. Oh man.
But I thought like all of the lore was very well written. You know, I think that all of the books had like pretty different voices, which I liked reading about.
Yeah, I feel again. It just feels like he Tonda has a very good way of being able to like sprinkle in a lot of character into one specific book, but not give you too much. Like he's able to like kind of bridge the gap where you have to use your own imagination and your own logic puzzle-solving skills in order to be able to kind of piece together the story rather than him just giving it to you out front.
Mm-hmm.
It's almost like you're kind of building your own narrative in a sense. It's very fun.
That's true.
There was one other thing that kind of pissed me off. The fact that I've still not activated the generator in the laboratory. That's the one thing on
what?
My list.
What?
I haven't got them together yet. I haven't got the boiler room. It's pissing me off.
Bro, well, you've never unlocked it?
No, I've never been able to put them together.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, they're never side by side in my runs. Like they're always. To be fair, I think you beat the game on day like 54 or 52.
Something like that.
Yeah, and I beat the game on day like 31, so it's uh-huh. There's a little bit of a differential based on like the fact I was just kind of like there was just one I had like one banger run, and then that's like the, it was able to I never gotten to the antechamber since that run, and that was the run I actually succeeded because I already did all the steps in getting to the basement, yada yada yada. Spoilers for the people who were listening, but in reality, there's still so much to discover about this game. I still have yet to do the exam. And I'm terrified. I don't think I'm ready.
I think you got it.
But I think. I'll give it a shot. I've been crushing the math so far, so.
Mm-hmm. Besides, you know, the max is grade 8. How hard could it be? Like, yeah, it includes a lot of history that isn't exactly our world.
Yeah, there's a lot of facts about great kings and battles that we've never experienced since this game's come out, since its inception. No, but it's fine. Don't worry about it. It's gonna be a piece of cake. I'm just gonna do really good on the math and nothing else.
True. You'll pass that way.
So, I think this is actually a perfect time for a break. Unfortunately, I think the kind of audio mutes whenever I go through the musical interlude break. But just send me a message on Instagram if you need anything.
Okay. And when are we back?
We'll be back in 5 minutes. We're going to be playing Westerly Winds by the Trigon Gusset, which is the composers of the Blueprint soundtrack. It kind of, it really sets the vibe as like sort of like almost noir in a sense.
Mm-hmm.
Like the kind of like very, very melodic, like low breathing saxophone with the very spacey chords. I love it so much.
Mm-hmm. The Blueprint soundtrack is so solid. Like, if any of you need to study and like lock in, it has the perfect atmosphere without taking away from like your thoughts.
You know? And if you ever played the game as well, it like actually like it makes you get back into that puzzle solving mood rather than, you know, other music that might get you out of it. Let's take a listen. We'll see you on the other side. Ladles and germs, welcome back. That was Westerly Winds by Trigon Gusset. And I just sent Elise every single bit of my freaking notes. All 8 pages. Well, there's actually 9 pages, but that's just the layout of all the hidden messages or the hidden words on each row based on those paintings on the wall. But everything else is accounted for here in those pictures.
Yeah, I've been looking at it. Very, very detailed. Very good stuff. For real.
Yay! I got the Elise seal of approval. But let's just go through, like, for example, how about we go work backwards? We'll start with, like, drawings and letters. Here, specifically, I was doing a bunch of math from grade 7, from one of the classrooms that were teaching grade 7. So apparently, for all the uninitiated, please play the game, of course. So if you haven't played the game yet, you can sign off right now. We'll see you on the podcast Spotify recording on Independent Incidentals on my Spotify page. But right now, there's these weird symbols. So basically, how math works in this universe is that there's color-coordinated math, where it's not like PEMDAS or BEDMAS or whatever the hell you were taught. It's colors, and that's it. And also symbols, depending on what you want to do with those numbers. So, for example, you have blue as plus, and you have yellow as negative, subtraction. And then you also have purple, or I think pink as multiplication, and then purple as division. But then also, as you slowly get more into like advanced math and functions, you have the square and the circle on top of the letter, which basically means, which I just figured out recently, like just last playthrough when I was grading all like three of the kids' papers that they left behind, is the idea that you first do the whatever operation is in like the color coordinated thing. So it was 5 and then 2, and the 2 was pink. So you do 5 times 2, then you square them. And then you do the other functions as normal. And it was baffling to me that the fact that I had to, like, constantly, like, second-guess myself dependent on if, like, if the square was turned 45 degrees, that means that it's actually, like, some sort of square root. I still haven't figured that out completely. But it's something to do with the factorization of the number, and then you somehow like then you swap the letters, the numbers in reverse order and stuff like that. And then there's also like circle and then also like squiggly lines inside of them that do rounding based on place value and stuff like that. Again, these are completely unrequired things for the actual game itself. These are just things that you might be like, you might catch your eye if you're interested in these sort of things. There's a bunch of other stuff, like, for example, in grade 4, there's, like, geography and like, color-coordinated stuff, depending on, like, the symbol and the flag color and stuff like that. Stuff that I'm sure you're into, Elise.
That is true. Honestly, when you were discussing, I felt like I haven't really gone too far in the billiard puzzle room. Like, I've gone to all the colors, of course, and I have the square, but I haven't seen the diamond of the waves.
Yeah, the diamond and the waves. I don't think they'll be a part of the billiard puzzle because, to be honest with you, I think it has to require whole numbers. I don't know how they would express that with just 20 numbers, like the first 20 numbers. It has to be
True.
like a puzzle that reverts back to one of those 20 numbers. But in like the papers that I saw in this classroom, there was like a bunch of like, you know, one of the answers the kids got was like -400. So
What?
the kids were way off, I'll tell you that much. They didn't know what the hell they were doing. They did not study at all.
I love being good at the assignments, by the way. Man.
What can I say?
It's I don't know. It makes me feel so proud when I get it first try, even though it's like meant for like 8-year-olds.
Pretty
Or
much. The trick is like, that's the interesting thing. That's exactly it. It's like this should be easy in this universe because this is what you would have grown up with as you were learning these systems. But it's the fact that you have to reverse engineer. I guess Simon has never been in a math course in his life because he also doesn't know what the hell's going on
that
in canon.
is true.
So you just
Well,
gotta.
isn't he like basically grade 8-ish?
Yeah, I'd say so. Depending on like if like Fen Arias is like the equivalent of Britain or something like that. Think that's how
Oh
they do it
yeah.
over there. It would be grade 8, grade 9.
That is true. That is true.
That's true. There's a bunch of stuff I found in like the underground when I went to the inside of the mountain. There's a bunch of different symbols regarding like city crests, their exports, like what running weather conditions they usually discover in there. There was those music sheets. Have you done the music sheets?
I have not. Oh my God. And I'm so ashamed. I am so ashamed that I haven't done the music sheets.
Dang. Yeah, there's four music sheets in the music room, and then there's a couple
Yes.
music sheets in other rooms that are kind of
I
scattered
think I've
around.
just seen one of them. I have, no, 1, 2, 3, 4. I'm missing five.
I think that's in the greenhouse, or it could be in the.
Ugh.
Yeah,
Seriously.
could be. Yeah.
Okay.
There's a lot of encoded messages there. It's very fun, especially when you're like, wait, I wrote this down. Thank goodness. I was like, wait a minute. This music sheet that had a bolded word, I was able to write it down, and now I'm able to fully solve the puzzle without having to do an extra run, right? You kind of save yourself the trouble by being more vigilant in the future.
That is true. That is true.
Yeah. We've already talked about the laboratory and the fact that I've never gotten the boiler room and the laboratory to ever match, which is depressing and sad, so we're not going to talk about that too much. Unfortunately, you've discovered most of the history of Orandia, so I'm scared to ask you some like preliminary questions about it because you have the uncensored copy from the book shop.
I do. Do you not?
No, I don't. That's the
Oh my
one thing. I've been able
gosh.
to I've with my money with most of because I never got the book I only got the bookshop once in all of my playthroughs. I've spent all my money on the gift shop
That's
instead.
crazy. But before the lore? That's crazy.
I know, but it was like the only thing I could buy, and I was gonna lose all the money anyway. So I was like, okay, whatever. I had like 50, 60 gold, and I was like, okay, it's fine, it's fine, it's fine.
It is fine. Perm. Am I discussing the history of Orinia now?
Little bit, yeah. Just go into like a brief overview, like what you found
Okay.
interesting about it specifically.
So basically, I'll discuss the second edition. So no spoilers here, right? From what we read in the second edition, it was quite redacted, like blatantly redacted. They had like the black bars and everything instead of
Yeah.
like,
And why was it redacted, Elise?
It was edited, quote unquote, to be proper for dissemination. Interesting.
Oh.
So, from what we know, Oris, the first king, was a king who was very forthcoming with his expansion. He loved widening his lands. We can assume from the way they redacted him, he did this like in a controversial way, right? Later on, the fourth king, who was redacted, gave his different kids, his three children, three different areas, right? So his eldest get the fields and the mountains, the middle, the province of the kingdom, in the south, Araha, and the youngest, Arc Ares, in the north. So we don't really know what the fields and mountains are
Oh wait,
called,
I got those
right?
swapped.
Later on, King Desolate 3 is a fucking terrible guy. He's redacted to look
Oh, that's your
terrible.
one time.
Ah, I'm so sorry. I'm sorry. I apologize. Anyway, he somehow led to the grand city of Fen, right? Later, Desolate dies. Prince Lyrsin declares himself the true monarch because Desolate's son is a terrible, terrible king. So there's a bunch of like different uprising stuff. They lead to like they call it the Fensurrection, which I think is so stupid.
It's a very good pun, though, you have to admit.
It's fine.
This
And
was
they
in
have
the
this
Fourth Age,
war
no?
that lasts 22 years. It's crazy. It's crazy. So for the
Damn.
Fens Fallen, they lower the black flags and raise the red flags. So the Fen Ares, Arc Ares, and Araha together as allies, right? In the first edition, right, we find out that it used to be called Erindia, right? Like Erindia used to be the name of the Eastern Waters, not used, but like the
Yeah.
elders still call themselves
You know
Erindians,
what's so
right?
cool? I was able to actually figure that out through the map that was put up
Oh
in the Great Four
yeah.
class, rather than the fully uncensored book. So you're still able to get the same information, but through different means.
That is true. It just like spells it out way clearer. So before the first era was called Ajera, right? So the first king Oris was like this crazy merchant lord. He led Erindia, and they this was censored in the original, but there were black banners everywhere, right? So that's how we find out like black was like the original color, right? So later on, the fourth king of Erindia gave the first son, the Fields and Mountains. Arinda Ares, right? That's what it's called. It was completely censored, but it was after the angelic paragon of royalty, Arinda, which is pretty cool. So the youngest son, Arc Ares, still gets the same, but the middle daughter, who gets Araha, we find out that it is the realm of the ancestors and the old sun, or the old tongue, sorry. Later on, they built these railways that spanned the land in the third era, so they linked the northern mountains to the southern shores. And they created this promise of like a united future. Later on, we find out that in the fourth era, King Desolate was actually like this incredible king. He was awesome. He listened to all his constituents. He was like the commoner guy, you know? Like he
Damn.
actually moved the capital from the mountains of Redington to Oris because it was more public. And he left behind the castle and the court. So a bunch of dissenters, nobles, thought this was improper and they didn't want a weak king. So those voices led to the grand city of Fen. They like they you know they had the Fensurrection and everything. So anyway, the
Damn.
king died in his old age, away from the terror, luckily. Desolate's son was a way lamer than his dad. So Lyrsin, one of the nobles, declares himself the true king. The same war happens. And then later on, you know, Fen, Arc, and Araha are still together as allies, but this past was like way more common than people discuss. And basically, you know, this land sprung the greatest empires, and it's a home for past and future. But and then the last page is completely censored, and it says like four words. But it is still Erindia. I think it was so
Oh,
cool,
that's so
so
sick.
cool, man.
The censors really add to the mystique, because like when you can
Yeah.
finally break them down, it must feel so good.
Oh, seriously. And it was like it really pissed me off because it was like so blatant too. You know what I mean? Like if you're gonna censor a book, you know, just rewrite the whole thing. Don't just
Yeah.
like block out.
From start to finish, don't just get a don't do an Epstein thing and just like get your Word text editor out and censor the put black bars on it that people can just
Literally, they
remove.
just like colored the whole page black. It was ridiculous. But I really
Guys.
like I like the character of Caleb Mannings, the author. I think it was pretty cool how he was buddies with our mother.
Yeah,
Who I
who
think
is
is
the author of those children books?
precisely.
It all connects together. And then you go to the archives and you find out there's some sort of weird, mysterious heist that happened that involved Mannings. And then you're like, what was my mother involved
That
in?
is true. Like the more you find out about her, the more you're like, man, my mom was like kind of crazy.
She was kind of based, honestly.
She was. I love our mom.
Is so
I miss
based.
mom.
Okay, so we only have about 5 more minutes. Is there anything we want to talk about before we end here?
Before we end, ooh, what do you think we're missing?
I don't know. It feels like we've kind of covered everything, though. I feel like
What's your favorite room?
my
Like rare room.
favorite room. Oh, that's a really good. The one that I choose the most is the den, but that's not my favorite room.
Yeah, for sure.
I think the.
Like your favorite room, like you get excited to see it. You know what I mean?
Oh, you know what? The only good upgrade I've gotten is the courtyard. It got upgraded to the courtyard, which turns it into a
Ooh.
hybrid green slash yellow room.
That's how.
Well, I mean, not yellow room, but a hallway room, which is orange,
Yeah.
which basically allows it to have like fully doors unlocked. It's a green room. There's a chance you might get like a cool like item such as a shovel or a metal detector and stuff like that. And it just adds so much synergy. It's so
That is
good.
hard. It is so hard.
But lore wise, I
I
think
really
the classrooms are my
like.
favorite.
Sorry?
Lore wise, the classrooms are my favorite. They allow me to like I can grade people's papers and like I figure out the world through the lens of being a ruthless marker.
I really love. Oh, sorry about that. I really, really love getting the locker room. I think it's really funny. Well,
I've
I mean,
never.
now that I've actually unlocked every single locker in the locker room.
Damn, I've
I
never
had a
been to the
run where
locker
I
room
got
yet.
like 40 keys and I just used all of them to unlock it. And it was pretty hype. I noted down everything in each of the lockers.
That's insane.
So,
It does those beautiful runs where you just have like one like godlike run where you have like 40 keys or 20 gems or 100
seriously.
gold and you just can go to town.
I also really enjoy getting laundry, of course. I like the
Laundry's sick.
observatory. I think the observatory, I think, is one of the most common rooms that I get.
Yeah,
Oh, and
observatory is also
secret
pretty good, yeah.
passage for sure. Man, I love getting secret
Secret
passage.
passage, yeah. It like if you're really struggling for a room, it can help you in so many ways. Man. The items are also pretty good, like the crafting elements in the workshop are some of my favorites as well.
Is
Just
true.
in my I played one run today. I made a goddamn jackhammer. I love it so much. I still want to make more, but it's like you need a really specific components for it. I've not been able to get them.
Yeah, man, I want to play more now.
I do too, but it's running out of
We
time.
are running out of
It's gonna
time.
be midterm soon, and I'm scared.
Man, but I love how intricate the world is. I love the graphics, even on like the lowest graphics. The game is so pretty. I
Yeah.
cannot imagine using it like on the full high setting.
I do. It's immaculate, honestly. It's like drinking out of my computer. It's like it really
Drinking out of my computer.
I want to lick the screen. Do I need to make myself more clear, please?
You know what? You're actually right. I hear that.
I want
That's why I need RAM, dude. I need to lick my computer.
Every time, no, I've been playing Baldur's Gate as well, and every time a Asterion comes up, I just want to lick his face. Damn.
Yeah. I should probably get stuff for computer soon.
Yeah.
I was gonna get it before, and then I was like, you know what? The bubble's probably gonna burst. I don't have a 2x2 anymore.
I don't know. It seems like a bad time, Elise. Maybe wait like a
No.
year. I hate to break it to you, but not
I
only
know.
is my job going to collapse and my entire field of research going to be taken over by robots, but also the fact that graphics cards are becoming way more expensive.
Yeah, it's okay. We'll be fine.
Hey, at least
As
Elon
long as
Musk
we
can use it for,
stop making enormous games, you know what I mean?
yeah. Just make
Yeah.
simpler games, guys. Take some advice from Blueprints. And not every game that needs to be a dang needs to be a dang Expedition 34. You know what I'm saying? Hoo-wee! My goodness. We're
That is
just.
exactly what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Down to the accent. Wow, man,
I read your
you really
freaking
want to
mind.
be a voice for the people.
I done read your freaking mind, and you've been watching Independent Incidentals. Hoo-wee! Marry your cousin.
Wow.
We're in Alabama now. Hoo!
Wait.
That's my.
Wait. Talk a bit more. Talk a bit more.
I done has shot a squirt, and personally, I hate those damn telemarketers coming to my house trying to sell me insurance on my damn porch. I don't need it.
Hey, what kind of finance? Wait, what branch of finance is an anteater best at?
I don't know. What is
a gal dance?
My goodness. I done broke my jaw because how funny that was. I was in a laughing fit. Oh, wow. That's insane. Well, this has been Independent Incidentals. I hope y'all enjoyed. I've been Billy Hossa Hard Rock and with my co-host.
Elise Manzo.
That doesn't sound too Southern to me, but that's all right. I'm very accepting as a Southern person. We'll be back next week with talking about specific things about how bad mobile games have gotten recently. And the fact of the matter being that games used to be good. What an unpopular opinion. What a hot take. Am I right?
Everybody tune in.
Everyone get in. We're going to be talking about My Singing Monsters as well, because I've been playing the crap out of that.
I keep seeing, oh my god, I am in class. I'll be in class. And I see My Singing Monsters pop up. Fucking, oh,
dude,
sorry.
They got baby
sorry.
No money.
I'm sorry.
They got
I'm
baby
sorry.
No money in there.
I'm sorry. But like every 2 minutes.
They got baby no money.
Dominic is playing My Singing Monsters. Okay. Dominic is playing My Singing Monsters. Every time I go to class.
And everyone is saying that I'm based. Everyone's saying that I'm freaking monster pilled, and also the fact that I was mainly trying to grind getting the specific baby no money monster that came out like a couple months ago. So
are you gonna get it?
I did. I got two of them.
Are you serious? How much?
It just takes time. It took me like, I don't know, 5 days.
Okay. That's fair.
It just, you pop in, it's a great game. It's one of the only good mobile games left in the world.
That is true. I do have to get back on the grind. I am actually going to open My Singing Monsters right now as we end.
Yes!
Yo, pod. Me when I'm a pee.
Me when I'm pee. Well, that's all the time we have for today, folks. I hope you all enjoyed. We're going to be talking about that. And in the next month, we're going to be talking about visual novel games.
Woo-hoo!
All games about, and RPGs as well. We're going to be talking about Undertale. We're going to be talking about One Shot. We're going to be talking about Omori. We're going to be talking about Papers, Please.
Hell yeah.
We're going to be talking about The Walking Dead and Telltale as a company and how they were able to be resurrected from the dead.
Hell yeah.
So you better stay tuned, people. I'll be getting you that schedule next week.
Are you mentioning my baby? Minecraft story mode?
Oh, please. Yes, we'll be talking about that as well. You can come on if you wish. We can talk about all about that.
Yes.
We can talk about the tragic ending of Sven. Yes!
Can you hear that?
I can, in fact, hear the classic opening music. It's beautiful.
Okay, on that note.
On that note, we're going to be heading out. It's quite late. I hope you all have a nice rest and prepare yourselves. The tide of midterms is coming soon. Brace yourselves, ladles and germs. I'll see you all.
We just started school.
Yay!
Oh, we got this.
we're gonna get there. Don't worry. See y'all. All right, we're offline. I'm gonna stop the recording as well. For all the people who are still listening on Spotify, I love you.